Welcome, everyone. We will continue our reading and discussion of from the book of Acts, chapter 14. We stopped reviewing up to verse 21, I believe, so we will continue from there and finish this chapter, and if time permits, continue with the next chapter. So in verse 21 to 22 of Acts chapter 14, we saw how Paul and Barnabas, they returned to Lystra and Iconium. And they did a few things there, very important things that we must be aware of, and understanding that these are things to be done in congregations. So they returned to Lystra and Iconium. And actually, let me read that. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, that's Derbe in verse 20. So when they had preached the gospel in that city, the city of Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium. And we know that those who were persecuting them were from Antioch in Iconium. And as we mentioned, how brave they were to do the work of Elohim. They don't let things stop them. That was their calling, to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, and the Eternal protected them. So they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. And to do what? They were, verse 22 says, they confirmed the souls of the disciples there. They confirmed their souls. They helped them stabilize. They verified that they were still in the faith and helped them to keep them strong and stable in the faith, alerting them that it's not going to be easy, that entry into the kingdom, which is the goal of being a believer, that's the personal goal of each believer, is to make sure their salvation is sure to enter the kingdom. They would do so through much tribulation to enter the kingdom. And we understand that tribulation, as we mentioned, the disciples, the apostles at that time, were living in the time of the beast, the fourth beast that Daniel saw, which is the Roman Empire. So they were living in those days. So there was a lot of hardships all over. So in verse 23, what else did they do? Say, in verse 22, they confirmed, they made sure that they encouraged the believers to stay in the faith despite trouble. And in verse 23, they ordained them elders in every congregation and had, right? So think, as I said, think about that. So the congregations existed without elders. That's what that means. So until this time, all the congregations that they had established in those places did not have, quote-unquote, elders, a pastor or bishops. They did not have those. They went back, and there they ordained elders in every congregation that were in those areas. So, and as I pointed out, that's to show you that a congregation of Elohim can exist without an elder. They can. It's not necessarily ideal, but they can. And Elohim provides elders and things of that nature as he sees fit. So it's not something that must be. And that's where today we run into a lot of problems, because we see organizations being set up where they just heap upon themselves pastors, teachers, deacons. They just choose their own and establish them. And it's almost like a dollhouse where you have all these actors and all these characters that they're fitting in for some sort of theatrical play. But the true congregation of Elohim is not like that. Just like Israel. Remember Israel, when they got into the promised land. They did not always have judges. Not always. It's from time to time Elohim would provide them with judges and things of that nature. And yes, they had a priesthood in order, it's true. But they did not always have judges. So we shouldn't think that unless a congregation has a quote-unquote pastor, it's not a congregation. No, that's so. Let's not think like we have to have the freedom that the Spirit shows in His Scripture to understand a congregation is a group of people that are serving Elohim in spirit and in truth, that are doing his work with or without an elder or bishop. Elohim provides elders and bishops as he, when and if, as he sees fit. We have to keep that in mind. That's an important thing for us to keep in mind. And they had done this and had prayed with fasting, and when they had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Eternal to whom they believe. So now they are apostles. Remember, like I was saying, the bishops are not above the apostles. The apostles are as to the bishops as a prophet is to a priest. The priests don't ordain the prophets. The prophets ordain the priests. They're the ones who do the consecration and prepare the priests and set up everything for the priests to serve. Like we saw Moses, as I've mentioned a few Sabbaths ago, Moses is the one who consecrated the tent of meeting and everything in there. It wasn't the priest. He is the one who consecrated the priest. The prophet, in other words, is the one. If we're going to think of someone being in charge as a person, it would be the prophet. In New Testament times, it would be an apostle. The apostles were prophets and more than prophets. So they're the ones who would select elders. They're the ones who were, could say, in the top, if there was such a thing. But again, as we pointed out, they didn't think like that. They saw themselves as fellow servants. But that's their role. They're the ones who ordain elders and ministers, not seminaries, not schools, no such things. That cannot do it. You must have a person with the prophetic gift, with the gifts of the Spirit to ordain ministers. Or Elohim will ordain a minister himself directly. How? He will make manifest his power, his Spirit working in such an amazing way in a particular person or persons, so that the whole congregation will recognize that that person was chosen by Elohim. Why have so many abandoned this simple, pure doctrine? Why do I say that? Because that's how it was always done. How did they know Moses was a prophet? Because of the works Elohim did through him. No human being ordained Moses. How did they know Aaron was? Yes, Moses did, but Elohim proved it by Aaron's rod that budded. So it's Elohim who declares those who are his leaders. No paper, no amount of education can do that. Yes, Elohim can choose an educated person to do that. But education won't be the sign. The sign will be that the person is living a virtuous lifestyle consistently, and that the person has the power of the Spirit in them, active. Don't throw that away. That's what the scriptures teach. And it's important for us to understand so that we're not deceived or misled by those with their various degrees that claim to be a pastor or such. These things are not sound. These things have nothing to do with Elohim, and these people will have to give an account to Elohim for these problems that they have created, because they say they're pastors, but then they don't know. They can't prove anything. You ask so many of them, when does the Sabbath start? They can't tell you. They'll tell you it starts at sunset. They'll tell you something like, when is this? They don't know. And they'll refer you to, quote unquote, the experts. And the experts are usually secular people or secular sources that they're getting their knowledge from. So how are they pastors of Elohim? They're not. I'm not saying this in arrogance. I'm saying this in humility, but in truth. And we have to go back to the original faith delivered in the scriptures, that elders and such are established by prophets. Established by prophets. And the apostles were prophets. I said even more than prophets. Let's move on for that. So they established elders. They ordained elders in every congregation, prayed with fasting. And then they didn't just leave them. They prayed from fasting and then commended them to Elohim. In other words, now they're moving on. Now, brethren, they're basically saying, stay firm in the faith. Serve your Elohim in spirit and in truth. So they commended them to Elohim, on whom they believed. And then after that, verse 24, it says, and after that they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. Verse 26, and then sailed to Antioch,
whence they had been recommended for the grace of Elohim for the work which they fulfill. Verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered or assembled the congregation together, they rehearsed all that Elohim had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Okay, let's go back to verse 24. So after they commended those in every congregation, elders, and they commended them to the Elohim they believed in, they passed through Pisidia, then they came to Pamphylia. So they're traveling through those regions. When they reach Perga, they preach the word in Perga and went down into Attalia. Now stop. What's going on here? Okay. Pisidia and Pamphylia, I'm not sure if they preach there yet or they just traveled. I'm not sure. They probably preach there too, but I'm not going to say what this particular text doesn't say. But what it does say is that they preach the word in Perga. Then they went down to Attalia. So we don't have the details, but what you saw happened in the previous chapters of them preaching, confirming, and they did all of that, those things too. They're doing these things. They're preaching. And if they didn't do them, they will do the same thing there. So it's a process. So you gather disciples. They become a congregation. They don't necessarily have a leader yet. And I'm stepping ahead of myself. Let me continue with what I was saying before I continue with this part. So they preached the word in Perga. Then they went to Attalia. Then in verse 26, they went to Antioch. Now remember, again, these are the places that they were being persecuted. So they went to Antioch where they were recommended by the Spirit of Elohim to do the work. So they were told to do a work, separate Paul and Barnabas to do this work. Now they go back to where they started, full circle, back to the place from where they were sent, from where they were commissioned by the Spirit. Why? Because they had fulfilled the mission. So there's a process in place. There's a start, there's the work, and there's finishing the work. Then there's going back to confirm the work. As we saw, they went to confirm the work. So when Elohim brings people that are new, that what I mean new, meaning new to the faith, this process has to happen. A process where they are strengthened in the faith, fed in the faith, and given time to grow, and then observed to see who should do what among them. You want to understand? So the disciples, when they went back to Antioch, they had preached there a long time ago before. But after a long time, they went back and establish elders. Because why did they do it? Why didn't they set the elders before they left? Because by now, the members of those congregations would recognize among themselves who is the most outstanding, who is the most faithful. They would understand this. The apostles would be directed by the Spirit to choose the one who would be elder, but the people would also be in harmony because they would have seen the works of those same people prior to them being chosen as elders. They would have seen that there are individuals among them that are doing outstanding work, that the Spirit is working powerfully through more than the rest of the congregation. And it is that or those individuals that would be chosen as the leaders. Okay? So they went back to Antioch in verse 27. What did they do now? They had fulfilled their mission. Did they just do nothing? No, they gave a report. It says, and when they were come, they gathered, they assembled the congregation together, and they rehearsed all that Elohim had done. They fulfilled their mission and explained what Elohim did. What did he do with them? All the works that he did through them. And so the what and the how. And how he opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles. So now the Gentiles have a door. That means it's not a one-time thing, but it's a stream. It's a connection now where either spiritually or physically or both, where now they're being fed the faith of Elohim, where they can grow. Now they have contact, established contact with the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and now they are being fed the word of knowledge of faith from Elohim. So that door has been opened to them. They're not alone. They're not functioning alone. They're not confused about anything, but they're steadily growing in the grace of Elohim. And with that being done, there, Paul and Barnabas stayed there with the disciples a long time with them. Okay, so that's the end of chapter 14. Okay, so we saw everything that happened here. So the congregation of Elohim is an organization. It's not just a group of disconnected people, which has become today what we see today, a group of disconnected people, disconnected by choice, disconnected by denomination, disconnected by speaking different things, different ideas, and dividing over the different things and different ideas. The congregation of Elohim is not to be like that. Even if you have a different opinion, you don't divide, but you come to an agreement that until Elohim gives you unity about something, you don't teach it as doctrine, even if you believe it's right. That's why else somewhere Paul says, if you have faith, keep it to yourself. You may be right. Elohim has revealed something to you. He has not yet revealed it to the rest of the people. How do you know? Because there's no consensus. They can't seem to get it. You hold it to yourself. What do? Despair? No, you pray. You're praying. And the congregation should understand that they don't understand this. They don't get it yet. We should be praying to come to that one understanding. Not telling the brother, well, that's your view and I have my view. No, that doesn't work either. The congregation of Elohim doesn't agree to disagree. We don't do that. That's useless. People of the world do that. The congregation of Elohim agree that we don't yet understand, but we will pray for understanding. That's how the congregation of Elohim functions. We never agree to disagree. We agree to unite to understand. Okay? Because it's a commandment of Elohim that we should speak all things, and we can't fake it. We can't force it. So we have to wait on Him to give us that unity of mind. And we should have that peace and rest in our souls that's how it works. We don't have to fight and argue and divide over things. We just have to wait as brothers and sisters until Elohim gives us unity of mind. And He will do it quickly. The reason He doesn't do it often in groups is because the groups are arguing among themselves and have set in their hearts to depart from each other if they don't agree. And we're not to do that. And it has happened to such a degree now that the congregation, some people are isolist. They isolate themselves. They think they're in some wilderness, and they've developed all sorts of doctrine about their behavior, about their choices. That's not in Scripture. The Scripture doesn't allow for believers to abandon the congregation. In ancient Israel, despite their sins, you never see Elohim ask anyone to leave the congregation of Elohim. We have one person, Naomi, right? And Naomi, her children, her husband died, and her sons died. And then she confessed that it was because of her sin. She abandoned her land for whatever reason. So we're not to abandon the body of believers because of differences of opinion. We're supposed to be fasting and praying and crying out to Elohim that we will turn and repent, and that if there is some evil person, some wolf in sheep clothing in the midst, that Elohim will cause them to leave, which is what He does. But the congregation must stand firm together despite differences of opinion, but not in with the mindset of agreeing to disagree, but agreeing to pray and wait on Elohim for unity of mind. And as I was saying, the congregation of us is an organization. It's to be united. It's a body. We don't function on our own. We can choose to do that, but then we will find ourselves excluding ourselves from the congregation that is in Elohim's hand. Because the congregation that is in His hand is united as a body. And it's large. It's large, not so much in every generation, but from because it keeps growing generation after generation. The names of those who are saved are many, and Elohim already knows who they are. So make your salvation, sure, by listening to the doctrine of Elohim and not allowing ourselves to be divided, because that's what the enemy did. He caused false doctrine to creep in, and some of the false doctrine that crept in was that, oh, if somebody doesn't agree with you, divide from them. That's a false doctrine. That's not scriptural. You never see that happening anywhere in Israel, no matter how bad they were. You never saw that happening in the congregations. Look at the congregation of Corinth. When you read 1 Corinthians, all the sins, they didn't abandon the congregation. It was the congregation of Elohim. Rather, the member who sinned was dealt with through apostolic authority. Of course, we don't have that authority. We don't, you know, none of us are apostles, but Elohim will deal with things when they come. Okay, so the congregation of Elohim is an organization. If we want to be His, we need to function as an organization, not for Jackson's sake, not for Sister Rose, not for any really, but primarily for Elohim, His Son, His Spirit, and His kingdom's sake. We don't divide. We don't divide. Remember how great sin that was when the congregation was going to split after the golden calf? How some were just going to leave. And look how Elohim reacted to that. Look what He told Moses to do. That's to tell us, no matter what's going on, He doesn't want us to divide, because He could fix it. His Spirit is a spirit of peace and unity. If those of us that believe have that mindset, He will fix the problems. But we must not have a divisive mentality, nor should we have an accommodating spirit. That's wrong also. The idea that we will agree to disagree is no. We must understand that we must agree to pray for unity and do all we can for that unity. Not be passive. We're not to be passive about things that we disagree with, but work earnestly in love and faith and peace, in the bond of peace, to understand and unite. And with patience and endurance. Okay, so they abode with the disciples. Let's see my time. So I'm going to stop here. And we will continue with chapter 15 next Sabbath. Thank you for listening.